You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche, and today we're going to be speaking about Community Cleanup Day, which is coming up on Saturday. So we have four guests with us today who are professionals about trash on Kodiak Island. We have Mike Shrewsbury, who is with Alaska Waste, who does hauling of trash, or is involved in that at least. You can talk more about that later, Mike. We have Bob Tucker, who's Director of Engineering with the Borough. Stephanie Del Garza with the Chamber of Commerce. And Stephanie Mason, who is the Director of Threshold Services. So you guys, why don't you talk to us a little bit about the history of Community Cleanup Day and basically what is it? Who wants to volunteer for this part?
Sure. This is Stephanie Del Garza with the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce. Community Cleanup Day started around the 1980s, and it is a day for the Kodiak community to come together and clean up our island. Driving around, there's lots of trash around the roadways right now, especially now that winter's over. The ice has thawed, so it's time for us to get out there and get everything cleaned up. So it's this Saturday, May 6th, 8 to 2 at the high school parking lot.
All right. So is this optional for any neighborhood? Like, can you just take the tools to your backyard, or how
sure.
does it work?
Sure. So people would come by the high school parking lot. The chamber staff will be out there, and we will give people the bags, the Alpar bags and gloves, and help them pick a cleanup location. So we have a map of the borough, and we will help them pick a location. If you live out in the flats, the Women's Bay Community Center is doing a cleanup out there. Chiniac has a cleanup out in Chiniac. And so we help them pick a location, and then they can also drop off recyclables, bring their household hazardous waste, meet up with Clean Harbors, different organizations to help get the community clean. So we want to make sure that everything's disposed of correctly, and just clean up the island is really what our goal is.
Is there a wrong way to dispose of trash?
Yeah, I can take that one. This is Bob Tucker, Engineering Facilities. So what's happened in the past and what's confused, I think, some people is, in the past, the city used to do a cleanup and they'd pick up curbside, and that hasn't happened in several years, at least two, and I think it maybe even three. So people have still kind of gotten used to doing that, and in areas we found that becomes a problem, and we've got to figure out how to either who owns it or how to remove it, and we don't have the equipment, and you know, the city is used to, you know, has a public works and the borough doesn't, and so we don't have equipment to come pick it up. So there's no way of for us to be able to do that unless we contracted it out, and so we don't do that anymore. And so the other part of that is people have now started to move it to the dumpster and think, well, if we just dump it outside of the dumpster, the guys hauling the dumpster will take it. And that's not the right way to do it either. I mean, it really either needs to go into the dumpster, and if it doesn't fit in the dumpster, you can always take it out to the landfill from 10 to 4 any day, and it's everything that you collect out of your yard, your residential waste that you want to get rid of, is free for the next two Saturdays from 10 to 4. So not only is the cleanup is we have two Saturdays out at the landfill that's free that you can bring your residential waste. This isn't for contractors. It isn't for businesses. It's for residential people to clean up their yards and get it to the landfill without trying to stuff it into their container. I mean, and don't overfill your containers that you have that, because if they're overfilled, then Alaska Waste can't pick them up properly and dump them. So if they don't fit in your container, put it in a dumpster. And if it doesn't fit in the dumpster, take it to the landfill.
So I think it might be useful right now just to go over what happens to trash or any object once you do what you do with it. So whether that means tossing it in a trash can or recycling it, what happens in the life of that object after you get rid of it? So can we talk a little bit about what happens to the trash when it reaches the landfill?
Sure. And that kind of will segue us into the hazardous waste cleanup that we're doing that's actually up at the high school parking lot. Any household hazardous waste that you have, really needs to go to that parking lot and be dropped off. It's a free service that the borough pays for through the landfill that takes all of the paints and oils and spray paints, bug spray, whatever you can think of that you're trying to get rid of. If it goes up there, then it doesn't go to the landfill. So any other, and the reason for it is any of the trash that goes out to the landfill gets baled, goes into the baler, and gets crushed up, baled, and then put into the landfill. And then all of that that gets put into the landfill leaches down through, goes down to a plastic liner, and we suck up all that rainwater and all that leach material. And if we have all those nasties in it, it's really hard for us to remove it. We're required by law to remove all of the green ghoulies, or whatever you want to call them, out of that water and produce drinking water at the end. And so it's more difficult for us to do that if we have all these metals and pesticides and oils in the landfill. So all the waste, like your regular compost, breaks down your vegetables and, you know, all your stuff that you throw away from dinners, and the papers break down and the plastics get baled and everything else that goes through into the leachate. We're trying to keep it as clean as we can. That's why we do the hazardous waste cleanup every year, to try to keep that from going in the dumpsters.
Okay, and is that part of Saturday?
It is part of Saturday. There'll be a truck with Clean Harbors up here at the high school parking lot all day Saturday. This is for residential waste only. If you're a commercial business, you should have already set it up. We put ads in the newspaper trying to get that word out to the businesses that needs to be set up early, because they have to bring in special things for certain things. So if you have PCBs to get rid of, they need to bring certain overpacks to be able to pack it to transport it off the island. So that has to be done in advance. So, but the household hazardous waste, they're prepared for and ready for. So any of your paints, or like I said, spray paints, bug sprays, you know, any of the cleaning products that you don't want to, you're not going to use anymore, all those can go up there instead of going into the landfill.
Okay, so it's important when you have bug spray not to put it in your trash can.
Please.
Mm-hmm. All right, and what other kinds of products should people be aware of that they need to consider it to be hazardous waste?
Any of your heavy-duty cleaners, oils, paints, bug sprays, I'm trying to think right off the top of my head, flares, electronics, obviously. Those would go to Threshold, and they can talk about that here in a little bit, because I know they're doing something special for the cleanup. What are they doing, Stephanie?
For the cleanup?
Yeah.
We will.
For electronics.
Electronics. We are accepting electronics for half price, so it will be 25 cents a pound instead of 50 cents.
So on your normal everyday running around and doing your drop off to Threshold, all of your electronics should go to Threshold. We're not allowed to accept them into the landfill anymore. They have what's called heavy metals in them. And those heavy metals, once again, leach down into the leachate, and they're extremely hard and very expensive to remove. We have special filters that do it, but the more that's in there, the more work we have to do to get it out. So it costs us more.
Exactly.
Versus sending it to Threshold and getting rid of it that way. We try to screen it as it comes through in the dumpsters and the cans, but we don't always see it because it comes in large trucks that gets dumped on the tipping floor and pushed into the land or into the baler and baled. So we don't always see it. So the more the public can help recycle it rather than throw it in the dumpster. And that's anything with electronics in it. Yep. That's not just TVs and computers. That's anything you can think of that has electronics in it.
If you can plug it into the wall.
Yeah,
it
basically
has a microchip in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coffee pots, yep. Calculators. I mean, anything you can think of. Remotes, TVs. I don't know what else you can.
You've said
basically
it all.
Anything,
yeah.
You can plug in. And if it has a microprocessor in it, it has heavy metals in it.
Okay.
And that's what we're trying to keep out, because it's really extremely hard to get out.
Exactly.
Stephanie, could you kind of give an overview of what kind of materials Threshold accepts, the ones that they don't? Yeah. Can you go over that?
Yeah, I will. And I'll go over that because we will be accepting these items up at the high school this Saturday. So any household recyclables, we ask not a lot. If you have a full truckload, please take it to the Haven. But feel free to bring your bins. We will accept it. We will accept any paper products that are not covered in wax, aluminum cans, aluminum foil, tin, cardboard, and we will be accepting fluorescent bulbs up there, and there is a charge to that because we have to dispose of those properly. And we actually set up with Clean Harbors already to dispose of those, yes. So we will charge $1.50 per pound, and electronics, we have a special. We will be accepting them half price, so 25 cents per pound.
And so as far as other things that you guys do and do not accept, mm-hmm. do you accept, like, glass?
No, we do not accept glass. That is a topic that has been in discussion with SWAB, Solid Waste Advisory Board. It's something that probably down the line could be done, but a lot of work needs to be done mm-hmm. before.
Because
it needs to be researched.
Yeah. At the same time, I'm friends with some environmentally conscious people, mm-hmm. and they try to avoid using plastics, and instead right. they use glass, right. but then they put it in the trash can.
Right. Which takes up space in the landfill, which then costs us all money. And I don't think I didn't write plastics down. I forgot to mention plastics. Number one and two plastics, we will be accepting two. And any stretchable plastic is another item we accept. So if you can hold it in your hands and stretch it, we'll take it.
So I can talk about the glass a little bit, maybe mm-hmm. to let everybody know what we're working on. SWAB has been working on, along with myself and our folks at the landfill and my staff and Stephanie, are trying to do some research to find out what kind of machine that we really need. We've looked at some. Some we've looked at have been too small to be able to do our community. And because what we have to do is we have to crush it to a certain size, and it wouldn't actually be recycled. It would be reused. It would be too expensive, cost prohibitive to get it off the island to actually recycle it. Mm-hmm. So our theory is that we can crush it and then use it as cover on the landfill instead of we use rock for cover now. That we have to blast, and we have to actually make rock every so many years to be able to cover the landfill. So our intent was to try to find a machine that we can afford to purchase and have the staff to run it that will crush the glass to the size we need so that we can put it on the top of the landfill versus having a bottle that takes up a whole void in the landfill mm-hmm. needs to be crushed, and then we would use less rock and glass. Does that make sense? The problem is we don't have funding for the bigger machine. We right. don't have staffing right now.
And space.
I mean, we're talking about a fairly substantial size machine with a conveyor belt that feeds it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. It's not chump change to buy one. Mm-hmm. To be able to take all the glass from the community.
And is that something that you discussed as in SWAB?
It is, yeah. And it's something that we're working towards, but we're trying to figure out exactly what we need and how to fund it and where to go with it and who's going to collect it. And there's a lot of research that's got to be done and to figure out what we need to get exactly and how we're going to pick it up. Is it going to be delivered to, you know, the landfill? Is it going to be delivered to Threshold? Is Alaska Waste going to pick it up for us? There's a cost to all that, I mean, mm-hmm. that we have to figure out. I mean, even if we have Stephanie take it at Threshold, there's a cost for us to get it to the landfill because we don't have trucks that go on the road. All of our landfill trucks have to stay in the landfill. And so it would be a cost to have Mike bring a truck out to pick it up and haul it. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of work that needs to be done to be able to do it right and come up with a budget and get it funded. All in this tight funding environment that we're in now right. isn't probably going to be something that's going to happen right away. It's definitely not in this budget that I'm in now, and it's not in the next budget presently that's in front of the assembly now. So it's probably, you know, a little ways out before we get all the information and get it to the assembly and get it compiled of the costs and then put it into the budget.
And that's something SWAB talks about. Can you describe what SWAB is for people who might not be familiar?
The Solid Waste Advisory Board's a board that answers directly to the assembly, and they discuss and try to help the assembly make informed decisions on things from the environment, mostly from solid waste. They've worked on everything from glass to plastic bags to leftover food at the stores to the landfill itself and how we're operating and equipment and that type of thing. So they take a subject and then they discuss it and they do research. Staff helps them do research. And then they make a decision, an informed decision among the group. And then they take that information to the assembly and the assembly makes a determination whether they want them to do more or where they want to go with it. And so whether they want to fund it or that type of thing.
Mike, I would be interested to hear about your side of things and how that works on the island, because I've been noticing that some days certain neighborhoods put out their trash cans and other days other neighborhoods do. So could you kind of go on about that? Could you explain?
Sure, yeah. So for the residential roll carts, we have different parts of the urban area set out so that we can route our trucks, and then that way they can collect the trash more efficiently. In terms of the residential dumpsters, we have those located around the road system, and we empty those as needed. Some are far more popular than others, and as Bob was talking about, if there are extra materials outside the containers, then we have to send an extra truck or an extra man out to help get everything cleaned up and taken care of. So it's really an on-demand situation, except for those residential roll carts, which we pick up weekly.
All right, so Stephanie Mason.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about your role in tomorrow, and how do people know what to recycle? Where do they take all the trash they collect? How do they sort that when it's in their hands?
We ask for, we will be at the high school this Saturday, accepting all of the household recyclables, including fluorescent bulbs and electronics for half price. And we ask that they are sorted before, because there's a cost to sorting and there's a cost to shipping off island. When we ask that our recyclables are sorted, because it makes it worth it, then it holds the value to each item and makes it worth it to then ship it off island, and then we can see a better return in price. So that's kind of the process. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Okay. And I know you weren't here last year, but what was the participation like last year? And is there a way that we can kind of build it up?
Sure. So the participation has declined over the years, so it'd be great to get the community more involved. It's a great event. We give hot dogs and soda, the Lions Club does, at noon to all of the Cleanup Day volunteers. And those hot dogs are help provided by food services. And, I mean, just come by, pick up some trash bags. You can do it. Come by and pick up your trash bags at 8 a.m. And then you've got a couple hours to do the cleanup before the trucks start coming. So what you do is you fill up your bags, pick up a location, fill up your bags, and leave them on the side of the road. And Stephanie at Threshold organizes all of the trucks and what we call the swampers, which are the folks that jump out of the trucks and throw the bags inside the trucks to get those where they needed to go. So it would be great to help increase attendance. So please come out and join us.
Can you volunteer as a swamp, or is that like a swamper, or is that a professional role?
What if I said both?
Because both would be awesome.
Ultimately, yeah, you could be a swamper. Here in Kodiak, we don't have them, but a lot of other locations in Anchorage, for instance, have swampers. I actually started out my career on the back of a truck, and for a year and a half, it was the greatest gig I've ever had. It was just a blast, because you got to throw trash, see different things, and it was a great experience just being out in nature, you know. But ultimately, Alaska Waste provides a truck and a swamper, and we handle one section of the area that's being collected. And then there are other groups that volunteer to help out.
Yeah, we have a truck, I believe, from the city of Kodiak provides a truck. Kindly Kodiak Lawn Care, Jeff Brubaker, gave us two trucks this year. Thank you, Jeff. And swampers are always the hardest to find. But what I've heard in the past is St. Innocent's always comes through, and they did, even with for me this year. Even though there's a new director, they were happy to do it. So thank you to St. Innocent's, too.
Community Cleanup Day is sponsored by a large group of people. So it's sponsored by Lesnoy, the Chamber of Commerce, the Lions Club, Alpar, Threshold, Alaska Way, Snick's Auto Wrecking, Swab, the city and the borough, St. Innocent's Academy, Kodiak Lawn Care, Clean Harbors. And we're just thankful for all of the people that come together each year to make it happen.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see.
If I wanted to be a swamper, would I have to have, like, a lifting capacity of, like, a certain number of pounds?
Yeah, it's suggested 75 pounds on a regular basis.
Okay. So. You guys, I'm not going to be volunteering as a swamper this year. I'm sorry.
Next year. Start lifting weights.
That's my goal. Next year, I will be a swamper.
No, it's a blast. You have a great time.
No, it does sound fun. And, in New York, it's one of the better careers, if you did not know this. It is a very well-paying career because it is so challenging and you have to do it for, like, long hours, so.
But they also call it carting over there. It's carting. Not roll carts. It's just carting. It's just flat across the board.
Hmm. Yeah. You can't throw trash, can you?
There's no throwing?
Challenge accepted.
Why would
accepted.
I want to do it?
So, Stephanie, so you're up at the high school?
Yes.
With the truck. Is the Haven open also?
Yes. Okay. The Haven is open. And I please ask, what I've heard is last year some people, just a couple, they come with their trucks full of cardboard or whatnot. And we're trying to do the community a favor by parking up there. So if we loaded all that cardboard in our truck, and that's just an extra thing for us to do. So we ask, if you have a lot of recyclables, please just do what you usually do and go to the Haven. If you have a little bit and you have some electronics you want to dispose of, feel free to bring your recyclables and electronics up there. We don't have a problem accepting a little bit. Yeah.
And this is based in the city. Is there anything that's going on in the villages?
So each year the chamber sends bags over to the villages so that they are able to do their own cleanups.
Okay, and if you're not familiar, maybe Bob could speak about this for just a second, but there was just a massive removal in the villages that was completed.
Oh, yeah. We did a metals removal. Now you're going to make me talk off the top of my head. I think it was right around 500,000 pounds that we removed from all the villages. We removed all of the metals from all of the villages via vessel. We brought in a landing craft, we brought in crushers, we brought in some crew, most of the crew was city crews within the villages or tribes that did the work in the village. We did bring in one, I think, laborer to run the crusher because it's a specialized piece of equipment. This was a big grant. It was a $2 million grant that we used to do that. We also took out batteries, paint, and some electronics, but mostly it was metals. We would crush it, bale it, put it on trucks. We could take 7 trucks each on the vessel that we were using, the Helinka B, which was awesome. They worked with us all summer, over 2 summers to do it. It was quite the endeavor. We had the polar bear come in and do a free pickup in Yuzinki just because they were stopping there for something else. And they did a backhaul to Anchorage or Homer to get rid of it for us. And so that was somebody coming by that had an open landing craft and took a bunch of metals out of Yuzinki for us. It was a big endeavor. It was and a very successful one. And it mostly thanks to the Alaska Housing Authority and CANA, Tyler at CANA and the Housing Authority that was a partnership that we had along with the Helinka B to get this done. It was quite the event that we pulled off, and We actually got all of it out of all the villages, Karlik, everywhere, Akyok, even, you know, the remote big oil tanks that were left were cut up and stacked up and removed. And I'm talking big oil tanks, 10,000 gallons. I mean, this isn't some little thing. So, yeah, it was quite the project. It was really interesting to see it come to fruition. And we ended up turning some money back just because we didn't have time. The grant ran out. But we were actually able to complete the project. So it was cool.